Let's stand and greet each other. Welcome one another. Say hello. If you want to go ahead and make your way back to your seats. All right, as we're finding our seats and quietening down, guys, I don't know if that's me. You know what I think it is, John? I think it's my magnetic personality is messing with the resonance of this microphone. I believe that's what it is. I don't have a way to turn this down, though. That's the problem. All right, well, welcome to Victory Bible Class. I hope everybody had a good week. Man, I guess we're going to have a little bit of ringing here going on, so we'll just deal with it. On the prayer list, we have Greg Justice with diverticulitis. I think that's right. Is that correct? Yes. Okay. My nephew and my sister-in-law have both had that before. So let's remember Greg. I believe Jamie Baker is heading to Vanderbilt tomorrow, and Rhonda either had surgery or she's having surgery this week. I believe. Is that right? Does anybody know the date? I thought we had it written down there, and maybe she just told me, and we didn't write it down. I cannot remember. I know it's very soon, or maybe it has just happened. All right, that's all we have on our list. Yes. Okay, I'm going to leave this right over here. So after class, just write down whatever you want on here, and we'll make sure it gets on there. I have not heard. They should be either en route or be there.
They're there.
Okay. All right. And there's actually several guys from around the country, I believe, in that group, aren't they? And does anybody know how long they will be gone? It's maybe a couple of weeks, something like that?
2 weeks from Tuesday.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right. So we'll remember them. It's Greg Justice with diverticulitis. Yes, and I'm going to set this right over here. Diane, I think, had something else to pin on it, so we'll leave it right there for you after class, so you can put anything you want to on there. All right. Well, let's. I'll tell you what. I can be loud when I have to. So I've had kids. Actually, I still have them. We're live. So, you know what? I'll just hold it down here. How's that? We'll try that. See, now it's going to be hard to pray because I'm laughing. All right. Well, you know what? Doesn't the Bible say, and I'm glad Dr. Stevens is here, because I was thinking, man, if I have to do the lesson today, we are in big trouble. So thank you for being here today. I wasn't ready for you. All right. Let's pray, and I'll try to hold this down here and get through it. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the beautiful day you gave us. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you that we can meet together here, and we can read and study your word. I pray for Brother Stevens as he comes and opens the Bible here in just a few minutes. And you know, he's been doing this for so many years. He could stand here and bring our lesson completely in and of himself, and it would probably be a pretty good lesson. But I know that if you are speaking through him, if you're standing here beside him, if you're guiding his words, if you're guiding his thoughts, I know it would be a whole lot better. And so, Lord, we pray you would do those things for him as he ministers the word to us. There could be one in our class today that is discouraged, needs a word of encouragement. There could be someone in our class today who's maybe depressed or despondent, needs a word of encouragement, a kind word, something from your word, a specific perhaps verse of scripture that's going to uplift that soul. There could be somebody here that's battling with worry. We're all prone to that, and if we let that consume us, we can always find something to worry about. There may be someone here like that that needs their faith strengthened. There could be someone here battling with sinful habits. I think we all could raise our hand to that. But maybe there's a verse of scripture or something that needs to be said in today's lesson that would help combat those things as they come against us. There could be tares among the wheat. We don't know. But Lord, I know that if you stand here with Dr. Stevens, if you speak through him, if you guide his words and his thoughts, I know that we will get something as he ministers your word to us, something we can use this week, something that will strengthen us, something that will help us, something that will help our anchor to be solid. And Lord, we have, I know, a couple of class members here either having surgery or getting ready, either having had surgery or getting ready to have it. We have this one young man with diverticulitis, new placed on our list here. And I know my nephew and my sister-in-law have gone through that, and I know what that's like. So we pray you'd be with him and bless him. We pray for our class members and the other fellows who are over on the other side of the world on this mission trip, really, to rebuild this wall and to, I believe, they're going to put a roof on the house and just do some work there that will be such a blessing. Yeah, especially during that rainy, muddy season, time of the year. So bless those fellows, help them as they work, and give them the good weather, give them the things they need in order to accomplish the task they went over there to do. And Lord, bless our class today, bless our church, as we're still searching for our pastor. And we know we're down to just maybe three guys, or I'm not sure what the status is now, but we know we're getting close. And Lord, we pray for our deacons. And we as a class here, as a church, we need patience, and we need wisdom, and we need discernment, and bless us as we go through this process here of selecting our new pastor. We pray for Brother Jenkins. Lord, you help him through his surgery. Lord, we just still lift his name up to you, him and his family. Would you bless him? Would you help them? And again, we thank you for all your blessings to us. Thank you for your goodness, and all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have a problem. The hook on this is gone, so I can't hook it.
Okay.
I don't know what I do with it. It's gone this way. They came off somewhere. Let me move this thing back. Okay. I don't know what he's doing, but I'm for it.
This thing's calibrated.
Okay. But what do I do about that?
Okay.
Yeah, that thing was about a
got to be five blocks from the wall. Somebody on Thursday, between Thursday night and Friday morning, somebody took that tape off.
Is that right?
And so I guess where it was.
That's all right. Somewhere.
Like that?
Yeah, just like that. Let's sit there
to work. Here's a plastic one right here.
Yeah, this one's too wide.
Is that more the style?
Let me see.
That's a big suit.
Yeah, it's... What does that thing do?
It just slid right up over there.
See, is that open up?
If it would work, oh, see, that's got a bell on it. This one was straight, but it would be...
Thank the family.
Now, when we come over here to the first thing I see is hospitality. And then came.
You get it?
Yes.
Oh, sorry about all that. I don't know what happened to it.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. I can't get it on. We'll be back with you tomorrow.
I don't know what you mean. It doesn't.
It don't won't click open.
Let's do it this way.
And furthermore, just enough to get it won't click open. Where's the?
Okay. I've got four thumbs.
Yeah.
Well, it fell off.
This week that Lot is an unusual person.
I will see him in heaven. Because we're reminded in the Peter passage that he is saved. But he certainly lived a miserable life. Can you get it? Praise God. Just give him a big hand. Yeah. Oh, good. All right. Look over there to verse 2. And he said, "Behold now, my lords." That's an interesting thought here. The word he has... I think no idea at this time that they're angels. I don't know that. Now keep in mind, if there's ever a spiritually blind believer, it's Lot. And he here that I pray you in your servant's house. Let me try it again. Verse 2. And there's some things in here I want you to see. You got to just think about it. He said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. And tarry all night, and wash your feet, And then he says, yet ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. You know what I think here? I think he was saying to them, we're glad to have you. I know we got problems here, but I'm hoping you leave tomorrow. It's the idea, the thought here in the Hebrews. Go on your way, because if you're not living for the Lord, and someone comes to you who's living for the Lord, you're going to feel uneasy. You're going to feel guilty. And Lot is feeling guilty. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the streets. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. So from hospitality, now you go to homosexuality. Interesting here. But before they laid down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about. Notice, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. The young here has the idea of very young. Think with me, homosexuality starts very young in the training there. Now I want to stop here for a moment and think about two important passages in Scripture here. Here we see homosexuality in full force. And how does that happen? How do people become homosexual? I want to make sure you understand, it's not inborn. It's not something that is in them. It is something that comes along. And I want you to turn to two passages with me. And I want to go to Isaiah chapter 1. And that's the first one. And then I want to turn to Proverbs in just a moment and look at that one as well. But turn with me to Isaiah 1. Because here, I think it gives you four stages of how a person falls into that kind of sin. Notice here, if you will, you're going to begin here. And verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. We know that homosexuality is a true rebellion against God. The ox knoweth its owner, and the ass its master's crib. But Israel did not know, my people did not consider. Now there are four words, and I want you to underline, then we'll take a moment and go back to them. The first word is the word seed, found in verse 4. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. Underline the word. Then if you will look there, the verse 5 is the second word. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. Underline the word sick. Then I come here, if you will, please, to that passage. Then I see in verse 6 the third word that I think would be wise to note. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and putrefying, bruises and putrefying sores. Underline the word sores, S-O-R-E-S, in the text. It is a stage in the moment that I will give application to Israel. Then you come down to verse 9 and you find the fourth word. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been like as what? Sodom. And interesting, we start with a seed, we wind up with Sodom. Certainly, sodomy, I like to call it sodomy, not homosexuality, begins with a seed. What is that seed in the life of every human being? It's the sin nature. I think that's where it all begins. All sin begins with the sin nature. And if you have that open, and I'm going to leave this for just a moment and go over to the Proverbs, and then we'll come back to the Isaiah passage. But I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 22 in verse 6. Your children that are raised in your home, and you yourself, every child born has a seed. It's called the sin nature. You've never had to train your children to do anything wrong. Am I correct? They automatically do that. For example, have you ever seen a bench that had a sign on that says, wet paint? What do some of us do? Come on. Are you sure that's wet? Oh, yeah, that's wet. We just want to rebel against anything that anybody says. That's our nature. And we come to verse 22, verse 6. He says, train up a child. The word child here refers to a newborn baby, a child as it's born, as it's brought into this earth, in the way. Now, the way is an interesting word here. It's a word for bent, B-E-N-T. Two things. Number one, every child who's born into this planet is bent away from God, okay? There are two thoughts about the word bent. Number one, every child is bent away from God. Do you believe that today? Every child. And there's a second thought on the word bent. Every child has a different bent. They're not two children alike. Somebody said if two children were alike, one of them isn't necessary. Because God made us all individuals to be different. And so God did that. But the idea in this text is train up a child in the bent, the way God's bent. Because when a child is born, here's bent toward God. What's his bent? His bent is toward evil. You've all experienced that. Your child will often lie to you when it tries to tell you that it has a need as a newborn babe, and you change the diaper, and you do this, and you do that, and that kid is lying to you. Just wants your attention. How many know what I'm talking about? The rest of you are in trouble if you don't know what I'm talking about. And the way, he shall go, and when he is old, the word old here is an interesting word. It comes from the word peach fuzz. He's maturing. The idea here, when he grows in that process, so by the time he beginning to shave, I'm not at that stage yet, of course, but no, if he begin to shave, it means he is by the principles taught him is what he will become when he's in that age area. And how well you've done with your training will determine how well he'll turn out. Am I making sense to you? Because your whole goal is to get him bent toward God. And that is a tremendous responsibility of a parent. I have raised only two. We had five. We have two in heaven. We have one that is Christina. Christina's bent. She's 50 now. But she's Christina. If you would say to Christina, now, honey, eat your food. No. And I'd say, now, Chrissy, don't you dare touch that food. She'd look at me and put that spoon of food in her mouth and let me know she's in charge. Her bent has never gone the right direction. But I'm glad, as we'll see in David's case in the morning message, that I'll see her in heaven because she's never had the ability to accept Christ. Anyway, we see this. So go back to our passage there then in Isaiah. So we see here the bent. So when he talks about that seed this morning, I want you to understand that seed refers to the bent here and dealing with the bent that you have to work on. I'll get here in a minute. Isaiah 1. So let's go. That seed refers to that bent. He's bent away from God. And then we come back here. So the seed is the bent away from God. And then in verse 5, because of that bent, you have the blight of sin. Why should be stricken and more? You revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. Notice the whole head, his thinking process. If you don't get that seed under control, it will affect the head. Isn't it interesting to see the thinking process of many of our young people today who have been trained in state universities today, who have been taught hot up here that our government owes them everything. The bent is away from God to government. You notice that? I've heard only a few thoughts in the hearings of the impeachment process, which is a bunch of baloney. And I say that simply because the way they're doing it, you know, and they make me sick. I can't watch it more than 5 or 10 minutes, and I just want to turn it off. Because it's wrong. It's wrong. And we need to realize that. And so the whole head and the whole heart faint. Because the head is getting wrong information, the heart then is affected. Do you notice there is less love among people today than ever before? The head has been infected. We see rebellion. We see listen, we have more violence. You know, there was a time in our country when people disagreed, they could agreeably disagree. Those days are over. We think they become our enemies and we have to hurt them. Then we come to the sixth day, verse 6. We come to some seed, to sick, to sores. The word, the seed has to do with the bent. The sickness has to do with the blight of sin. It will just make them sick spiritually. The sores, it's to break out. You know what sores do? What is sores? Are indication of something going wrong inside, right? Have you ever noticed how many years ago, I probably 30, 40 years ago, a homosexual was in the closet? They're not in the closet anymore. They have broken out. And the sores of spirituality are so evident as they promote their cause is so real. And the result is verse 9, Sodom. And interesting. You start with a little seed. You go to sickness, you go to sores, and now you go to sodomy, which is boasting. They're boasting about their lifestyle. I've never thought I'd see the day when they would be so proud that they're homosexual sodomites. Interesting days in which we live. And that's what you see over here in our text. So, go back there, if you will, but before you do, look at verse 18, 19, and 20 of the same chapter. Here's what God is saying to Israel, and we see here in the text. Look at, come now, verse 18, and let us reason together. Let us bring about, the word reason is an interesting word. It means to bring about convictions that results in correction. It's the idea of the word. To bring about conviction. What good is conviction if it doesn't bring correction? And so come now, he's saying to Israel, because they were in those stages, said the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's the answer to homosexuality. Come to the Lord and be convicted and then correct through repentance. Verse 19, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Of course, referring to Israel. But if you refuse or rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord shall speak. The sword here, is it not symbolic of the Word of God? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. I'm amazed that I've sat down with some homosexual. I'm not afraid to do that. Try to talk to them about the Lord. And I can take them to the Word of God. And I've watched several of them say, but I'm a Christian. And I have to be honest with them and loving as much as I can. You cannot be a Christian and be a practicing homosexual. You just can't be. It's contrary to this book of which I hold. I say that to let them know I love them. And God wants to save their soul from their sin. Now go back with me to the book of Genesis, the 19th chapter, and look there with me if you will, please. So we come from hospitality to homosexuality. And then they came, young and old alike, verse 4. And they called unto Lot, verse 5, and said unto him, where are the men which come to thee tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them. Have a sexual, homosexual situation. And then I see a hideous offer by Lot. This just shows how far down he has come. You know, I love my children. I want to say this to you as kindly as I can. You try to hurt them, I'll shoot you.
Amen.
You can forgive me later. I see what he did in verse 8. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them unto you and do to them as good in your eyes. And only these men do know nothing, for therefore come they under the shadow of my roof. He was willing to offer his daughters. Now that is about a sick seed, sick sores breaking forth sodom as you can get. Then I see, as we move on down, so we could realize this man was willing to let his daughters be abused by these homosexuals. But they're not interested in women. They want men. Hello? Understand that. Then we come down to verse 9. I'm not taking every verse, but every thought. Verse 9, I've written by that, hate crime. Isn't it interesting on our TVs they talk about hate crimes a lot? But it's us Christians hating them and not them hating us. Isn't that interesting? We hear about hate crimes. And verse 9, they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and we will need, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Years ago, it's been a good 20 years now, I received a call from a good friend of mine, Dr. Rod Bell. I don't know if anybody here knows that name. If you do, raise your hand. He's now home with the Lord. Rod and I have been good friends for years, and he's passed on to heaven now. And Rod said, John, he said, Dr. David Innocent's church in San Francisco has been attacked by homosexuals trying to break down the door. How many remember reading about that event? He said, I need you out here, John. I said, Rod, can't you pick anybody else? He said, no, I need you. So I went out with Rod and three or four other preachers. I think it was a dozen. I can't remember how many of them. We went to the church. We stayed there. And then we were to go from the church to the city hall. There was a big meeting about condemning the church because of their reaction against homosexuals. I'll never forget it as long as I live. It's only by the grace of God we got out alive. We walked from his church to the city council meeting and the office building. And on the way there, we were surrounded by about a good 50 to 75, excuse me, I'll try it again, about 200 homosexuals. They spit on us. They cursed us. They did everything, and I said, Rod, I'm not sure we're going to get out of this one alive. Preacher's in the midst of it, Dr. Ennis. And all of a sudden, I call them angels. A big bus came by, and out came a good 50 young men from a black church. Huge guys, huge. I said, hallelujah for these angels. And they didn't hit any of those homosexuals, but they just pushed them away from us. Say, we're praying for you, fellas. Knocked them away from them. And we made it there. But the whole affair was a mockery as they endeavored to condemn the church, the city council of San Francisco, and stand up for the homosexuals. And the church still is in existence today. But I'll never forget that. I called Marilyn. I said, honey, she said, when are you coming home? I said, if I had my way, I'd still be home. But I'm here. I'm glad I came because God was in it. I learned a valuable lesson. And it was centering. But they were violent people. They're not the sissies as you think of homosexuals. And I want you to get that cross to you. These people hate God and hate Christianity because we stand against their lifestyle. And you need to understand that clearly. And hallelujah for the heavenly protectors. I not only see this hospitality, this homosexuality, this hideous offense, and this hate crime, but I thank God for that heavenly protection as here as I experienced that day when I was in San Francisco. By the way, San Francisco, how many have ever been there? You've been to San Francisco? It's a beautiful city. But it's turned over now to homosexuals who openly practice their practices on the streets, and the police do nothing about it. And Burgo says, and they smote the men, verse 11, that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, haste thou here, hast thou heard any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. And for we will destroy this place, verse 13, because of the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And then we find what I call the second part of this chapter, and I see the worthless testimony of Lot here in verse 14. I often ask, how is my testimony before my children, my grandchildren? Verse 14, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that was mocked unto his sons-in-law. What a worthless witness that he had no, because he never really sought God's word. What a worthless witness. Don't be a worthless witness with your children, your grandchildren. Don't do that. Show Christ in their lives. And verse 16, and when he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife. These men are angels. And then I not only see the worthless witness, but I see the weak will, the weak guy. Look there in verse 20. Here is Lot speaking. Behold now, the city is near to thee. It's a little one. Oh, I'm too tired. I don't need to escape there. Let me go to this little city. Brother, I'd want to get as, if I was right with God, I'd want to get as far away from Sodom as I could. But he wants to hang around. And God had to send angels to yank him out of there from Sodom. And he still, haste thou, he hither in verse 22. For I cannot do, for angels said, do anything till they become hither. Therefore, the name of the city was Zoar. And then we know about his wife. We not only see this worthless witness and this weak will. He just didn't have the will to really leave. The world had gotten a hold of him. But I see a wayward wife. And verse 26, but his wife looked back. She thought, I'm going to leave everything that I love. That's enough to gag a maggot. She wanted to really stay there. And what happened? She turns into a pillar of salt. And then as we close that chapter, I'll not say much more. Because time, because the clock said not to. But I think of the wicked act. Wow. Now these girls raised in an immoral society. They had a man who could have trained them right, a father, but he led them astray. And I come to 19, verse 33, to the end of that chapter. I'm not going to read those verses entirely. The Bible said, they went to a cave. I should back up here. And they entered a cave, and they were there in a cave in verse 30. He dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. Well, you know the story. They got their daddy drunk. So you only have sodomy, you have incest. And because of that incest, sons were born. And those sons gave Israel trouble and Lot trouble from that on forward. It is interesting that at the end of this chapter, God says to Lot, kind of bye-bye Lot. You don't find much out. You don't, well, where is he after this? Anybody know whatever happened? We don't know. He just sort of goes off the pages of history, as any backslider would, because he has no witness for the Lord. Keep in mind those four words. Seed. Oh, that's a good word. We sick. We live in a sick society, don't we? And because the seed of the sin nature has never been placed under control, and the sores, the breakout from the sickness because of the seed, has been all these atrocities and homosexuality. And people are promoting them in places of high honor. But then Sodom. You see, folks, I think the only thing that has kept America from falling is that this nation sends out more missionaries than any other nation in our love for Israel. If it was for that, America's day would be just like Sodom. Have an influence on your grandchildren. This is an older age class, because they're going to face battles far greater than you faced when you were little. And all God's people said, you may be dismissed. Thank you.